Jeff Blum is the TV analyst for the Houston Astros, and he joins me now to talk about what looks like a real playoff juggernaut. Jeff, thanks for doing this.
No, it's good to be on with you guys.
Oh, it's good to have you. Thank you very much. So, I mean, you've watched this team all year. You know how good this team is. Are you surprised by the extent to which they've been able to dismantle the Boston Red Sox so far?
You know what? I am a little bit. We knew that these guys had it in them, and the regular season, you know, is a long, drawn-out process where you have some ups and downs. And this was an offensive team that was very good until the month of August when they had, and then they had some injuries with Correa and George Springer going down, and they kind of hit a little bit of a lull. Pitching hit a snag with a couple guys going on the DL. But the month of September was great with the addition of Justin Verlander and Dallas Keuchel getting healthy in the rotation. But when these guys are healthy and they are firing on all cylinders, they are a frightening team. And to see them do it in the postseason, I think, makes them a little more frightening.
And to have the middle infielders do what they're doing, right? And we all know how good they are. Jose Altuve is probably the MVP in the American League. Hits three homers yesterday, drives in another today. And today it's Correa with the first inning home run. To get things started. When you have a middle infield that can produce offense the way that the Astros do, I mean, you know, you're filling in the corner guys. Everyone's got corner guys who can hit. But when the middle guys can do it, that's just, I mean, it just adds to the craziness of the offense.
No, absolutely. What I love and what really determines for me who's a superstar and who's not is obviously you've got to put up big numbers and drive in a ton of runs and be that catalyst for your ball club. But you've also got to perform in the spotlight when people are keying on you and really trying to get you out, yet you still perform. And that's where these guys are at right now. They love the limelight. They love the spotlight. They want the attention on themselves. And it was kind of funny, early on in the season, before Carlos Correa got hurt, Todd Callis, my partner, and I kind of jokingly said, at the rate these two are going, Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa, they might end up stealing votes from each other when it comes MVP time. But with Correa obviously going on the DL and Altuve continuing his success, he deserves the MVP.
Yeah, it's really been an amazing thing, and it must be so much fun just to get that to get to watch that guy play on a regular basis. I wanted to ask you because it always, and maybe this year more than any, with the way the Astros ran away with the West and the way the Nationals ran away with the East in the National League and the Dodgers ran away with the National League West. The Astros had that division won by the All-Star break. And when you're up 20 games in August, sometimes you think it's hard to keep that level of intensity up or to turn it back on when the playoffs happen. So, A, how have the Astros been able to do that after being in cruise control? And as a sort of a corollary to that question, did adding Justin Verlander, that fresh face at the end of August, as opposed to a July trade deadline, could that re-energize everybody?
Yeah, I'm going to start with the Justin Verlander question first, because I truly believe that he added something to this team, not only physically and talent-wise and statistically and everything that Justin Verlander brings to the table. He brought some presence to that clubhouse. And I think I don't think the Astros were lacking it, but I think that they needed a little bit more or somebody that could put them over the edge as far as credibility. And Justin Verlander brought that with him. He brought a serious sense of credibility with him. And I think that that presence in the clubhouse, it really jettisoned not only the pitching staff, but I think it really gave the offense an opportunity to say, hey, we don't have to go out and score six runs a game, especially when we get a Dallas Keuchel who's healthy, a Lance McCullers who's healthy, and then a Justin Verlander. That takes a lot of pressure off the offense and allows them to relax and go out there and play hard. But these guys knew that they had the division wrapped up like you were talking about. But I think A.J. Hinch, I give him a lot of credit because he's given these guys different goals. Once they clinch the division, they put their focus on, okay, we need to win home field advantage in the American League Division Series. So they went out there, pounded on the Boston Red Sox. And then what A.J. also did in that same amount of time is said, hey, why don't we go after and try and win that American League best record back and win home field advantage throughout the playoffs if we can. So he did a good job of redirecting the energy, and I think it also helped having George Springer and Correa come off the DL wanting and needing at-bats.
We're with Jeff Blum, who's TV analyst for the Houston Astros, who are up 2-0 on the Boston Red Sox. From the other side, Jeff, from the other perspective, and obviously you're not as familiar with the Red Sox as you are with Houston, but you've seen them now 5 games in a row at least to end the season and here in the playoffs. But take it back a year, and the Boston Red Sox took on Cleveland in the first round last year. The Red Sox with this crazy world-beating offense that was the best in baseball. The Indians were the team everybody wanted to play because Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar were out, and they were seen easily as the weakest of the three division winners. And the Indians swept them, and they did it pretty easily. And now here's Boston again on the verge of getting swept in a first-round series. And I was going to say, obviously, against a much better team, but not necessarily. The Indians are a great team and wound up going to the World Series, but a team that at least more was expected from than was expected from Cleveland last year. Is this going to be a thing if the Red Sox should lose it on Sunday to win your division 2 years in a row but get swept out of the first round 2 years in a row?
It's going to be tough for them. I know that they made adjustments bringing over Chris Sale. David Price hasn't worked out. I know they've been frustrated with that, even though he pitched well out of the bullpen, but that's not what they're paying the big money for. Rick Porcello went from leading the league in wins to leading the league in losses. That's a huge concern. They had to sign Doug Fister, who's going in game three. That's not the guy you want going in a two down 0-2. And their offense, you hate to say it, and this is a very good team offensively. They're a very good young team offensively. They put together some great at-bats, just they're running into some very good pitching at the time in the Houston Astros. But the biggest question is, how do you replace a guy like Big Poppy? How do you replace the presence that he brought and the credibility he brought to those guys in that clubhouse? So they've got some question marks. I know they felt that signing Chris Sale and having David Price in that rotation were really going to solve the issues they had. But I think when you get into the postseason, you get beat pretty bad like they have in the first two games. It's pretty easy to point out some of the weaknesses that they do have right now, and it's going to take some time to address that.
Be really interesting to see what the fallout is in Boston if they should go down to defeat on Sunday. It looks like the Astros have a stranglehold on the series either way, but I think getting swept 2 years in a row is gonna have some sort of an impact.
That doesn't sit well in Boston. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, I got two more questions for you. First of all, one of your other former teams is starting up a playoff series tonight. The Arizona Diamondbacks had that great National League wild card game win against Colorado. It felt really back and forth, even though the Diamondbacks sort of had the lead. They had the lead the whole way, but it was never really comfortable. What do you think's going on in the desert? And, you know, that's where you finished it up. How do you feel about those guys out there going forward?
I think they've turned a little bit of a corner. I like the fact that they went out and made a trade of Gene Segura in the offseason because just in the sense that he was the league's best hitter in the National League, and they traded him away in order to get a reasonably good shortstop in Ketel Marte, who produced in that wild card game. But they also went out and got a guy in Taiwan Walker, who I think has – electric stuff, and really, you know, was being tutored by King Felix up there in Seattle. So I think he's got a good fastball, a good changeup, and I think he's going to go out there and compete well. Robbie Ray had a season that jumped off the charts.
Yep.
And you've got Zach Greinke. But the offense for me is what's going to drive this team. And not hearing enough about Jake Lamb because J.D. Martinez and Goldschmidt are going to steal the thunder a little bit. Look for Jake Lamb. I think he's one of those guys that could be the equalizer. If they pitch around J.D. and Goldschmidt, there's going to be a lot on the table for Jake Lamb to help this team out with, and he's got pop.
All right, we'll definitely keep an eye on him. And I can't let you go without, I talked about your last big league team. I got to ask you about your first, because anytime you go on the radio with us in Canada, we got to talk about Montreal a little bit. You were an Expo in 99, 2000, 2001. Things were already starting, I guess, to wind down a little bit there. But talk to us. Remind us of what it was like to be an Expo.
It was fantastic. I mean, there couldn't be a better group of guys for me to be around and a better organization for me to be around. I still see Jim Beattie, up in the media dining areas. He's doing some scouting. I saw Javi Vasquez the other day. Even this year, I was in Anaheim when Vladimir Guerrero had his number retired with the Los Angeles Angels. And you know what? That's one thing that we all truly connected on, is knowing that. And there was a very good amount of pride in knowing that we were Montreal Expos. We knew we earned the right to be in the big leagues, and we had a chance to play up in Montreal. And I think knowing now that Montreal is not in the rotation as far as the National League cities, I know a lot of us really talk about how much we miss and other people miss going through the city of Montreal. It was a fantastic play. I know the Big O maybe wasn't the greatest venue to go out and watch baseball, but we went out there and played our hearts out. We love playing in that city, and I truly, honestly, in my heart of hearts, believe that baseball will be back in Montreal when they figure things out, because they deserve a team, and it's just a lot of fun. It's kind of disappointing to me when we talk about Bartolo Colon being one of the last guys that ever wore an Expo uniform, so it's kind of a legacy dying off that I hope comes back.
Well, speaking of legacy, you know, we've got Vladdy Jr., who's probably going to be the number one prospect in baseball in the offseason. How crazy is that, that the kids of the guys you're playing with are now big-time prospects?
I always feel like the kids are getting older, but I'm not. But the fact is, I'm getting old too, because it was interesting. You look on the back of Vladdy Jr.'s card, and he was born in 1999, and that was the year I was in the big leagues with Vladimir Guerrero. So I've literally known Vladdy Jr. since he was, out of the womb. And to see him grow up, with his dad watching him play, and seeing his dad in Anaheim, like I told you guys, and talking about his son, he immediately glows. He's a proud papa, and he should be. And I can't wait to see the next generation of Guerrero coming through, because the first one was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it was. Neither can we. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate the insight, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs. It looks like the Astros are not going away for a while.
Yeah, I hope not, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, you bet. Jeff Blum, TV voice of the Houston Astros, who are up 2-0 on the Red Sox after a pair of 8-2 wins. The